I was going to say, as I was sitting here, this is the weekend annual conference starts this evening for us down in the Woodlands. So oftentimes people will come into the area early. And so a couple of our friends, our colleagues, are sitting up in the balcony. And as I was sitting there, I was thinking about this. One of them, we were in ministry together about 24 years ago, it was. She was a youth director, and I was one of her volunteers. And I kind of had an inkling for ministry, and I had hair way back then. So I was kind of looking at the thought of ministry, and so she did not dissuade me. So you can blame her at least partially, okay, for some of this. But anyway, always good to see the folks. I'm going to have a hard time. I try to move around. I might have to pick this thing up and walk around with it. 2009, Carolyn Miller graduated from West Point Academy. She was the seventh generation graduate in her family. Seven generations of people graduating from West Point, serving in the U.S. Army. She had one who served back in the Civil War, had gone to West Point, served in the Civil War. Seven generations. William Buckner served 28 years in the U.S. Army, and his father served in World War I and World War II. His father died at the end of the conflict of World War II in the Pacific. So certainly this weekend is remembering him as well. His family business went back before that, the family business of the military. Went back, his great-great-grandfather served and fought in the Revolutionary War. And his great-grandfather, Simon Bolivar, fought for the Confederacy, and he ended up being the governor of Kentucky at one point. So here are these families, these stories, which there are plenty of out there, of people who have families that have generation after generation after generation that is serving our country and serving the cause of freedom. There may be some of you out there who have similar stories in your own families. Stories where the life of sacrifice and service was embraced generation after generation. I will say we can debate politics and policies. We can agree to disagree on how our military should be deployed or is deployed or shouldn't be deployed. But the one thing that cannot, and I would say should not be argued, is the reality of the sacrifices made by those who are willing to serve. The bravery and the commitment made by them and their families, of that there is no doubt and no argument against that. And that is especially true to remember this weekend. As we said, this is Memorial Day weekend. It is functionally the beginning of summer, and that's all this is. This is a nice 3-day weekend. That's the beginning of summer. But the truth is, this is a time. Tomorrow is a day for us to remember those who served and died in service to this country in combat. A time for us to lift up their families in prayer as they may still miss and grieve the loss of their loved ones. Now, the stories. I love reading these stories because generation after generation, people stepped up to serve. Seven generations back of people who served. Amazing stories of sacrifice and passion. A passion passed down and embraced by children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren. I would venture to guess that there were some who were outside of their family who were also inspired by the service of these families. But there's one common thread to these stories. There's one word for me that epitomizes these stories, and it's the word I want to focus on today, and that word is legacy. Legacy. These stories help us realize that a family legacy is one of the best ongoing gifts that we can give. A family legacy is one of the best ongoing gifts that we can give. It's true, certainly, for our biological families. We see that in these stories. But I think it would be even more true. It's even better to say it's true for us as a family of faith that we have a legacy to pass on to each other and to those who come after us. Last week, 11 confirmants came up here at the 9:30 service, and we welcomed them into this family of faith. Right? Jeff reminded us that the framework of that is those who are part of the family are those who love God with all their heart, their mind, their soul, and their strength, and their neighbor as themselves. And so as part of that family, that life together, we serve and we embrace this life that God has given to us in Jesus Christ. So to embrace that life and to live that life, that is both our inheritance that we get from those who came before us, and it is the legacy that we leave for those who come after us. So here's the simple way I have of thinking about this morning. One simple phrase. Our most lasting legacy is a full-bodied faith. Our most lasting legacy is a full-bodied faith. What more could we want for our children or our grandchildren or our great-grandchildren or the children who live down the street but to have a full-bodied faith for themselves, to have knowledge, understanding of who Jesus Christ is? Especially in days like today. This past week, a week to the day of the Santa Fe shooting, there was another shooting in a school in Indiana. We are in a battle, it seems, for the survival of our children at times. That is said to be the 23rd campus shooting in this country this year. There are ongoing debates about how to solve this problem. So what's the answer? Well, legislatively and policy-wise, I don't know what to tell you. I've sat across the table from people who have different opinions than I do in some of these things, and as we talk back and forth about these things, and you say, okay, so what is the answer? And we kind of look at each other and say, you know, I just don't know. But here's what I do know. Here's what I do know, as we are here in this place today, as we worship the living God, as we worship Jesus Christ, who died on the cross and was raised again from the dead and is seated at the right hand of the Father, who is our King of kings and our Lord of lords. As we are here in this place, I know this. The most powerful weapon in our fight is not gun restrictions or gun rights. The most powerful weapon in our arsenal in this fight is not classroom or campus security. Those issues are important, and those issues need to be addressed, and people who are smart need to get together and figure out what can be done. But the peace we seek and the hope that we want will not be found in the work of politics and policies. The hope that we want and the peace that we seek will not be found in the work of politics and policies. Our most lasting legacy is a full-bodied faith. That's the legacy our children and our grandchildren and our neighborhood children need from us the most. Of course, that begs the question, what is a full-bodied faith? Well, when I first thought about that, I thought, well, I like a full-bodied glass of wine. Then I thought, oh, maybe I don't start with that one. Maybe I'll go a different direction instead. And then I thought about a cup of coffee. I like a good, hearty, full-bodied cup of coffee. I like a coffee you can chew on, honestly. I like a really good cup of coffee, a strong cup of coffee. But the one cup of coffee I remember the most was when I went with a team from this church to Honduras on a Living Water International trip to drill a water well in a schoolyard in Honduras. And I remember we were at the hotel, and we had this room that we would meet in and we would eat in. And the first time they brought coffee there, they brought the coffee, and it was in a white cup. And this coffee just had this rich, deep, dark brown color. And because it was in a white cup, I still remember this. I always look for this now when I put coffee in a white cup. There was this golden ring around the edge of that white cup because of the richness of that coffee. You could just see it in that. And the smell was otherworldly, and the taste was fantastic. And to me, that's what it means to be full-bodied. A full-bodied faith is one that's obvious when you see it. It fills your senses, and it draws you in. It's rich and deep and vibrant. And if we can live that kind of faith, if we can pass along that kind of passion, if we can help others see the richness of the life as a follower of Jesus, then I believe we're going to go a long way in fighting the fight that we need to fight these days, the battle for our children and our grandchildren. So with that in mind, I want to take us to just a short section of Paul's second letter to the Thessalonian church. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Verse 13 through 15, Paul writes these words to those who are receivers of his legacy. But we must always give thanks to God for you, brothers and sisters, beloved by the Lord, because God chose you as the first fruits for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and through belief in the truth. For this purpose he called you through our proclamation of the good news, so that you may obtain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So then, brothers and sisters, stand firm and hold fast to the traditions that you were taught by us, either by word of mouth or by letter. From what Paul writes in this section, I think we can see three keys to living our legacy. Three keys to living a legacy of a full-bodied faith. And I'm going to give you these three keys in a classic preacher fashion, okay? Three words, all start with the letter P, right? Real easy to remember that way. All right, and I'm going to give them to you right away because I don't want you sitting there guessing, okay, what's the next word going to be? So I'm going to give you all three. Three keys for living our legacy of a full-bodied faith. Profession, proximity, and perseverance. Profession, proximity, and perseverance. The first one is profession, and I kind of had to shoehorn that one into a P word because really all we're talking about there is the words that we say, our proclamation. See, Paul gives thanks for those believers. He says, God called through our proclamation of the good news. God has called you into the glory of Jesus Christ. He says, through the words that we spoke to you about the gospel of Jesus Christ, you became believers and you have entered into the glory of Jesus Christ. Paul believes that sharing the good news is an essential part of what we do as followers of Jesus Christ. If we go back to Romans 10, one of Paul's most in-depth theological letters, in chapter 10, verse 13 through 15 again. At verse 13 says, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Right? That's what happened at confirmation last week up here when the 11 confirmants came. They called upon the name of the Lord. It may not have been the first time they did it, but they made a public profession of faith. And so we know that through that they have received their salvation. And then Paul goes on to say this, though. But how are they to call on one in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in one of whom they have not heard? And how are they to hear without someone to proclaim him? And how are they to proclaim him unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. It's a reminder that we have to profess our faith as much as we have to live our faith. To pass on a full-bodied faith means to talk to others about what it means to live a life of faith. To talk to others about what it means to live a life in and with Jesus Christ. What difference does it make to live as a follower of Jesus? We need to tell other people that. Now, my sense is if you live with a person who serves in the military with passion and conviction, you will hear the pride that they have. You will hear about the belief they have in the freedom that we enjoy and their desire to see it protected and expanded. Those people are passionate about their legacy and what they're doing. So how much more should people be hearing from us about the hope and the peace that we find in Jesus Christ? And I have to ask myself, do people around me hear that? Now, I get to cheat a little bit because I get to come up here and talk to you every so often about that, so you get to know that about me. But it's really not about in this room. It's really about out there, in other places. Do people hear from me the story of Jesus Christ in my life and what it means? Do people around you? Do the people that we work with and the people that we have in our neighborhoods and the people that we see at the gym, do they hear us speak about the life of Jesus Christ with joy and with passion and with hope? If someone were to describe you or describe me, we have to think, would one of the first things they say about us be that they obviously are a follower of Jesus and they love Jesus? Would they say that about me? That's what I wonder. He's obviously a follower of Jesus who loves Jesus. I wonder, have they heard that from me? Have I been bold enough to talk about my life in Jesus Christ? So that's the first key, is profession or proclamation, using our words. Number two is proximity. While we do need to speak about our faith and our life with Christ, the truth is that faith is often caught as much as it is taught. Faith is caught as much as it is taught. Right? A dynamic faith is a contagious thing. And like any contagion, you have to be in proximity to that contagion in order to get infected by it. You don't catch the flu over the phone, right? You have to be in close proximity to someone to be infected by that. The same thing is true of our full-bodied faith. People have to be in proximity to us in order to be infected by us with the hope and the peace of Jesus Christ. Okay? Paul in chapter 2 of the Acts of the Apostles calls together the elders of the Ephesian church. And this is what he says to them in Acts chapter 20, verse 18 through 21. He says, "You yourselves know how I lived with you the entire time from the first day that I set foot in Asia, serving the Lord with all humility and with tears, enduring the trials that came to me through the plots of the Jews. I did not shrink from doing anything helpful, proclaiming the message to you and teaching you publicly and from house to house as I testified to both Jews and Greeks about repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus." He says, "I spoke the words about repentance in Jesus Christ and the finding of life in Jesus Christ. I said it publicly. I said it to you in from house to house. I testified to both Jews and Greeks. I professed what was true." But he also says, "I came to you and I lived among you," he says, "serving with humility and tears and enduring the trials." He spent time with them. He let them see his life. Even when he was faced with struggles and the opponents that came up against him, when he had tears that he would cry, he let them see his faith in the midst of those difficult times. So how do we impact a world and pass on a legacy of hope to a world filled with fear? By spending time with those who are gripped by fear. By being in proximity to those who are nervous and afraid. Letting them see our struggles, letting them see our tears, letting them see our broken hearts, but also letting them see our faith. Letting them hear our words of grace and peace. I mean, if faith is caught as much as it is taught, then we have to be willing to let others be spectators of the life that we live. To let them see what it looks like to live in peace even when the storms are raging all around us. Of course, the catch to that is that we have to be those people. We have to live obvious lives of hope and peace. Our faith needs to be full-bodied, rich, and inviting. Brothers and sisters, if we demonstrate out in the world the same fear as those who do not follow Christ display in their lives, if we have the same fear within us that they have within them with everything that's going on in our world, then what legacy do we have to offer them? If we are in the same place that they are, then we have nothing to give. So we can't live ourselves in fear. We have to live an obvious life of faith and hope and peace, even in the midst of things, even when we're crying, even when it's a struggle. Living a full-bodied faith that other people can see, that's the greatest chance for a future for our children and our grandchildren and our great-grandchildren and the neighbors down the street. A lasting legacy requires proximity as well as profession, especially for children and youth, to let them see our lives and to see what that we truly do believe and live a life in Christ. And let me say, we have more influence than we might realize in the lives of the young ones. Final piece is perseverance. Profession, proximity, and perseverance. You know, those school shootings are just one of the stories that remind us that we live in a broken world. All around us, there are people who are making poor choices that affect our lives, that affect our children's lives, that affect our parents' lives, that affect our neighbors' lives. All around us, people are faced with turmoil, and there is evil and dark forces everywhere. And yet, even still, in the midst of that, when the going gets hard, we must keep on keeping on in our faith. We hear Paul say it to the Thessalonians. He says, "So then, brothers and sisters, stand firm and hold fast to what you were taught by us. Stand firm and hold fast to what you heard from us. God has called you," he writes, "to be participants in and distributors of the glory of God. God has called you to go into the darkness and to shine a light so that people can see hope in the midst of all that is going on around them." We are to offer hope to others. We must not waver when trouble comes. And trouble will come. Jesus said, "In this world you will have trouble." And he was a true prophet, for we know that we do have troubles in this world. And giving your life to Christ doesn't mean that your life is going to be easier. Matter of fact, your life may be much harder. But when we put our whole trust in Jesus, it makes a difference when times are tough, or it should. For if our faith is strong only when things are good, it may be no faith at all. It's one thing to have faith when things are going well, but things aren't always going to go well. So maybe today you're sitting here and you know things are going pretty good for me. Well, enjoy it because it won't last. Sometimes cancer comes. Sometimes we lose our job. Sometimes a loved one dies unexpectedly. Sometimes children pick up guns and kill other children. And in those times, we're going to need to be ready to put our whole trust in God's grace. In those times, we're going to need to persevere in our faith. We're going to need to remember that Jesus did say, in this world you will have trouble. But right after that, he said, take heart, take courage, persevere in your faith, for I have overcome the world. You don't have to be afraid. The truth is that God raised up Jesus Christ from the grave by the power of the Holy Spirit. God's love and grace raised Jesus up to new life. And by the same power that raised Jesus up from the dead, we are raised up to new life as well. And not only that, that same power that raised Jesus from the dead was poured out upon the church at Pentecost and is poured out upon us every time that we ask God to pour it out on us. That means that we have both the power to overcome evil in the world and we have the power to persevere when it comes our way. That is a full-bodied faith worth passing on. That's a legacy worth passing on to our children and our grandchildren, one that gives them life and peace and a hope. It's about profession and proximity and perseverance. Tell them what you believe. Show them what you believe and never, ever stop. Let's pray. Lord God, for your grace we find in Jesus Christ, we give you thanks. We ask you to help us live full-bodied faith, to pass on the legacy that truly those around us and those who come after us would know hope and peace and joy in the midst of anything. It's in Christ Jesus we pray. Amen.
Well, my name is Jeff Olive, and it's my privilege to serve as senior pastor here. Welcome on this Memorial Day weekend, which it is this kind of unofficial start of summer. It's just moment in which we realize, I understand that this is later in June, but this is the moment in which many folks begin to travel.